The following is a recording from Sunday morning worship at Faith Presbyterian Church in Covington, Louisiana. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you join us any Sunday at 11 a.m. for worship. For more details, check out faithpreschurch.org.
Well, now as our scripture reader comes forward, let us pray in preparation for the reading of God's word. Oh God, as we open the scriptures, we know that it is your word and that you are speaking to us. And so as the word is spoken and preached here and in children's worship, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts so that we would not only understand it, but that we would love and trust what we read therein so that we might live according to it. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The reading of God's words comes from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. It can be found in the Pew Bible, pages 1021, and the following Jesus Bible, pages 1344. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you have little ones first grade and under who would like to go to children's worship or nursery, they can line up with Miss Brittany and go across the way to our children's building. If you're visiting here with us for the first time and your kids are not already registered with our volunteers and they'd like to go, we would just ask that one parent go with them to get them set up with our staff and volunteers across the way. Well, as we saw last week, this letter, 1 John, is sort of a gut check from the Apostle John to the Christians in Ephesus. As John has gotten to know this church, he's starting to point out some yellow flags and red flags that he's seeing in their community. And in this text, we see him directly confronting the problems of hypocrisy and self-righteousness. Of course, that's not a problem in the church today, right? Hypocrisy and self-righteousness, we've got those things covered. No, this continues to be an issue today. So let's begin by considering what hypocrisy is and what self-righteousness is. Hypocrisy and self-righteousness both conceal the truth about ourselves. They're masks of a sort. Let's start with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy deceives others by hiding our sin while acting righteous outwardly. Okay? So hypocrisy, what is the mask of hypocrisy? The mask is righteousness. I'm trying to deceive others about me. I'm going to project this righteous image of myself while in reality, I'm secretly living in sin. I don't intend to change. I don't hate my sin. But outwardly, I'm going to act like everything's good. Look at verses 5 and 6 in our text as John describes this. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Notice again what John says in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in light. So outwardly we're saying, I'm in fellowship with the one who is light and there's no darkness in him at all. While we're walking in darkness, what does he say? You lie. And you don't practice the truth. So that's where, again, he's old when he writes this letter, and he has no problem just calling a spade in this letter, right? He says, God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. So with God, there's no mask. There's no sin. There's nothing dark. You're going to find, as deep as you go into God, you're going to find nothing but light, purity, righteousness. You can't be in fellowship with light while you're living in darkness. Light and darkness just don't mix. Light eradicates darkness. So if you say you're in fellowship with the one who is light, but you're secretly continuing to sin unrepentantly, you're just living in that way, you're lying. You're a hypocrite. You don't really have fellowship with the God of light. That's what John's saying. So regardless of what a person says outwardly, they don't practice the truth that they live in secret sin. So hypocrisy, what are you trying to do if you're a hypocrite? You're trying to deceive other people. You say, yeah, I know God. We act righteous in public, but our secret lives are full of sin and darkness. We're not in fellowship with the light. That's hypocrisy. And let's think about self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is trickier because hypocrisy is trying to deceive others. Self-righteousness deceives the self. A self-righteous person has deceived themselves into thinking that God has eliminated their sin problem altogether. So hypocrisy conceals the truth from others. Self-righteousness conceals the truth from oneself. So look at verses 8 and 10 in chapter 1. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We don't know the truth about ourselves. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, because he said we're sinners, and his word is not in us. No Christian on this side of heaven ever fully gets over sin. We do grow. We do resist sin. We do overcome sin. But here's what I've found from my own life. I will get past sin only to find more sin hidden behind it and deeper, more difficult things rooted in my heart and in my mind and in my guts, like pride. That's one my wife will tell you I do indeed struggle with, and unforgiveness and bitterness. And it's amazing, these deep sins that take so much time and repentance and attention to grow. And there's always a danger of falling back into sins we think we've overcome. You may read this text and think, how could any Christian actually start to think that they're past sin, that they've reached maturity or perfection, kind of this end-all, be-all sanctification? Well, John says that they've confused. They're confused. They've deceived themselves. The truth is not in them. They've not listened to what God or McKenzie has said about them. And they're making God out to be a liar. Now, John, in our text, when he's talking about hypocrisy and self-righteousness, he really is talking about a state of mind. Someone who is continuously kind of living this hypocritical life. They've got kind of this righteous front and they're living in sin. And also people who have self-deceived themselves into thinking, I've reached the pinnacle of maturity. However, I have found that you cannot be in that mode throughout all of life, but in certain relationships you can be, right? That in certain scenarios, in certain relationships, you will start to put that mask on of hypocrisy. You won't be honest about who you really are and what your sin really is. Or in a relationship, your view of yourself is, I'm the one who is always in the right in this relationship and this person is not. So John is talking about more of a state of mind more generally, but you can also find, even if you are a healthy, mature Christian, you can still have moments where you start to pull these old masks out and start to live into this hypocrisy or self-righteousness. Self-righteousness deceives the self. Oh, I'm in the good here. I'm in the right. While hypocrisy aims to deceive others by saying, no, I'm good with God. Meanwhile, you're living totally differently. Well, God's light. And light exposes this. Whatever we try to hide with a mask, God exposes it. God's light reveals the truth about who and what we really are. If God is light, I'll say since God is light, you can't be in fellowship with him for long before your hypocrisy and self-righteousness are exposed by him. You can't be in relationship with him and continue to be in hypocrisy and continue to be in self-righteousness without it being exposed. But how does he do that, practically speaking? How does God expose our hypocrisy? How does he expose our self-righteousness? God exposes the truth about us through the work of his Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. And the Holy Spirit is God, which means he is light. So the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, he will not allow you to continue in permanent hypocrisy or permanent self-righteousness. He will interrupt you. He will discipline you. But don't mistake how the Holy Spirit works. Rarely does he work in massive, overt ways like signs and words in the sky. No. The Holy Spirit works slowly, subtly, and sweetly to convict us of our sins and break our hearts. Slowly, he breaks our hearts over our hypocrisy. Slowly, he shows us that we really are sinners. In both situations, hypocrisy and self-righteousness, the issue is sin. Our sin is what we need to be able to see and to be honest with ourselves and others about. But the Holy Spirit may, through the different means we'll talk about, he may start showing you your sin. He may show you your hypocrisy, your self-righteousness, and you may ignore him. You may choose to not listen to him. You may grieve the Spirit and fight against his work in your heart. In which case, if you are his, then he will start to ramp up the heat. So, you know, he may not start with massive overt ways, but that discipline, when we resist it and we fight against it, he will press and press and press until he gets you. But I have found from experience that the Holy Spirit is slow, steady, and persistent in this work rather than erratic and bombastic. The most ordinary way that the Holy Spirit exposes our sins is through the Word and sacraments. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin through the Word and the sacraments. We'll get to another in a minute. So God speaks through the Word, and he points out our sin. You'll be reading the Word. It's like, oh. I feel like every day, it doesn't matter what I'm reading in the Bible, I always see my sin and my need of a Savior. Because in the Bible, God says out loud what's really true about our nature, what's really true about our sins. So also in the sacraments, God speaks the truth about who and what we are. When we see a baptism, we're reminded we all need to be washed of sin. When we go to the Lord's table or we just watch other people taking the Lord's Supper, we see that we do need a substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. When a hypocrite, let's start with hypocrites. When a hypocrite is exposed to the Word and the sacraments and they get it, they do one of two things. They either double down on their religious exterior just to really prove to others that they're really good, or the hypocrite feels shame and brokenness over their sins. What about a self-righteous person who's deceived themselves? When they hear the word, when they participate in the sacraments, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to refuse to believe God and reiterate their self-deception, that they're really good people, or they're going to start looking at themselves more honestly, and the facade of their own sinlessness is going to start to crumble. Self-righteousness is rarely my struggle. Maybe in kind of granular moments of my life or certain relationships, I've got a spirit of self-righteousness, and I eagerly invite the Spirit to convict me on that front. Since I became a Christian, pretty close to Mackenzie's age, I've been keenly aware of my proneness to sin. Hypocrisy, however, is a sin that I have to be extremely careful about as a minister of the gospel. It would be extremely easy for me to cultivate a public face that looks faithful while my private life tells a different story. Just this week, another Christian leader that I admired, may have seen the article in the paper, was exposed, 8-year affair. This guy that wrote books that are in my office, you know, like it's very easy for someone who's in professional Christian ministry to fall prey to the sin of hypocrisy. And in my college years, I was very much a hypocrite because I was preaching. I was part of an itinerant preaching ministry where every Sunday I was in a different church preaching the scriptures, but I was not living during the week really in a way that was consistent with what I was preaching. And over time, the Holy Spirit used the very scriptures that I was preaching to others to cut my own soul. And the weight of the word I was preaching became crushing to me. I remember Sundays preaching and being miserable. I was telling the truth because I was scared to lie. But I knew that I wasn't living what I was calling other people to do. And by God's grace, that led me to confession. I brought my hidden sin, I got rid of the mask, I brought my hidden sin into the light with pastors and elders and other Christians that I trusted, and I asked them to help me pursue a private life that was consistent with my public life. I took over a year off from preaching until some other people who knew what was going on in my life said, "You're ready. You have demonstrated some level of consistency and integrity that shows you know Jesus and you're living in fellowship with the life, with the light." The word of God was absolutely essential in exposing my hypocrisy to me, and God's used his people to lead me through repentance and restoration. And that leads to the third means of grace that God often uses to expose us. He uses the word, he uses the sacraments, but he also uses relationships with healthy, mature Christians. Mature Christians try to get rid of their own masks. The intent is not to be gross and gaudy and flagrant about sin. No. Mature Christians want to be honest that they need a Savior. Mature Christians are open and honest about their repentance, about their need of a Savior. And when hypocrites and self-righteous people are hanging out with people that are open with their confession and repentance, what happens when you get hypocrites and self-righteous people and mature Christians that are open? When you get those people mixed up in relationships, lots of things happen. First of all, the humility and honesty of mature Christians will likely frustrate, confound, or convict hypocritical and self-righteous people. Sometimes, mature Christians will see hypocrisy and they'll see self-righteousness, and they will lovingly, humbly point it out. Ideally, as mature Christians wear repentance on their sleeve, it invites others to follow in suit. But this is how the Holy Spirit practically exposes our hypocrisy and our self-righteousness. He typically uses the word, the sacraments, and fellowship with mature Christians. But the bottom line is this: hidden sin can't stay hidden in the light of God's presence. It just can't stay hidden. If you're in the Word, you're going to see your sin. If you're participating in the sacraments, observing the sacraments, you're going to hear it, you're going to see it. If you're interacting with mature Christians who openly talk about their sin and their need of a Savior, it's going to expose you. It can't stay hidden. So, gospel gut check moment here. I've been preaching a little bit now. If all the time as I've been preaching, you've been thinking about other people and what a hypocrite they are, or how self-righteous they are, judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. The people most eager to assign hypocrisy or self-righteousness to others have their own sins to confess. When a mature Christian sees hypocrisy or self-righteousness in another person, what do? They're not surprised. at all. I tell folks this all the time when they share things they're struggling with. I'm like, this doesn't surprise me, and this doesn't change my view of you, because I know that your sin is way worse than you think it is. And it's way worse than I think it is, because my sin is way greater than I could begin to imagine. So if a mature Christian sees hypocrisy or self-righteousness in another person, they're not surprised because they know their own sin. So if my sermon thus far is just making you think about other people, slow your roll and let the light of God shine on you. God's light exposes the truth about us to us, so that we would willingly bring the truth into the light by confession. Listen to the public communal nature of what John says in our text here. Listen to verses 6 through 9. Follow along with me. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with whom? One another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is the invitation that John is extending to the Ephesian Christians and to us? In fellowship with God and in fellowship with each other, let's be honest about our sin. So hypocrites, confess the things you have tucked away in darkness to God and to some other Christians. Repent of those things and then go to war against those sins with the help of those Christians. The only way to annihilate hidden sin is to unhide it, to bring it into the light, to confess it to God and to Christians you trust, and then go to war against it. Self-righteous people, when God's word convicts you that you do indeed still have a serious sin problem, tell God and tell your brothers and sisters, I was wrong. I'm not so great. I'm just as needy of Jesus today as I've ever been. And when I'm in heaven one day, I still have need of Jesus. My sin is way bigger than I realized. Be forward with your repentance with God and with Christians you trust so that they can keep you accountable, so that they can pray for you, so that they can walk with you in your pursuit of holiness. We confess sin openly to God and Christians we trust so that they will aid us in our pursuit of holiness. We're not just fighting against our sin. We're fighting to be like Jesus. We're fighting to live the life he made us for, and we need other Christians to help us on both fronts. Verse 9 is an astoundingly important verse for so many reasons. Follow along as I read. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does God do when we confess our sins? He forgives us, right? But the verse doesn't stop there. He also intends to cleanse us from unrighteousness. That means he wants to help you get past your sin. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be more like Jesus. It is God's intent for you to stop sinning, to make you holy like Jesus. Now, we're not going to be fully without sin in this life, but that's the goal we're pursuing. We want to make progress toward that goal. But everything in this chapter is talking about fellowship with God and each other. So if you confess your sins only to God, he will forgive you. And he is committed to you overcoming sin. But a major way that he helps us overcome sin is through relationships with other Christians, which means we should be confessing our sins to each other. And when someone, now let's put the shoe on the other foot. Let's say somebody confesses their sins to you and kind of surprises them. What do you say? Well, do you trust Jesus died for you? Yes. Then you're forgiven. We remind them that they're forgiven because of the work of Christ. And then I say, how can I help you? How can I help you in your war against sin and in your pursuit of holiness? This is the kind of community that John is calling the Ephesian church to be, and this is the kind of community that God is calling us to be. A church where we confess our sins to one another, where we are committed to one another, overcoming sin and growing in holiness because of what Christ has done. The Christian home and the local church are the ordinary environments where the Holy Spirit does this communal work. So you can have these conversations with Christians outside your home, outside your local church, but there's something very powerful and real about face-to-face, regular relationships. And yes, I realize we live in a post-COVID world where we have lots of digital relationships. Face-to-face is better. I don't even qualify that. When you confess your sins to somebody that you're going to run into at the grocery store, when you confess your sins to the person you're going to see in church the next week, or you're going to see at work. I know some of you folks work together, right? That's really what we want. We want these meaningful, ongoing relationships where we can keep each other honest and maybe even catch each other sinning. You know, there's some value to that as well. We want deep connections with each other, and those are the people we confess our sins to. But here's the challenge. If the Holy Spirit shows you your sin, it's your responsibility to reach out to other Christians, confess it, and ask for help. This is all about the Holy Spirit exposing our sin to us. So when you see it, it's on you to confess it and to ask for help. This is one thing that our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters get right, and also a little wrong. We both got areas to grow here. We do need to confess our sins out loud with our mouths to each other. But what John is describing here is not going to a priest to do that. We don't need a priest. We need brothers and sisters. Just logistically, as a minister, I can't walk with every person in this room in their personal battle against sin and for holiness. I just don't have, the sermon wouldn't get done. But that's not what John's describing here. We need a community of Christians who are aware of one another's struggles, who are praying for one another, and who are calling us out when we need it. There's a level of reciprocity, mutuality, and honesty that John describes in this text that if you are a part of this community and you're wanting to hold on to your sin, it's going to be very hard for you to do that. You're going to feel a tension between your life and the life you're being invited to. But that's what John says, or what Jesus says in John chapter 3. He says, everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come into the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. When we come to Jesus and one another, openly confessing our sin, what does the light do? It shows that if there's anything good in me, this depraved and wicked sinner, if there's anything good in me, it's him that did it. It's his work in me. Honest, open repentance humbles us and glorifies the God who forgives and cleanses. When I'm honest and open about my struggles, when you are open and honest about your struggles, and then you grow, who gets the credit for that? Jesus does. When our dark sins are overcome by the light of Christ, all that can be seen is his glory. God is publicly glorified when others can see the work of his grace in our lives. Recently, a member of our congregation told me they were afraid to share their past with other Christians because they didn't know how people would respond. I get that. That's a major problem in churches where there's cultural pressure to have it all together and to look good. But John's inviting us to imagine a different way. Imagine the kind of community that John challenges us to be, a community where the goal is not to look righteous or to imagine that we don't struggle with sin. What if instead we were the kind of community that is brutally honest about where we used to be, where we are now, and where God is calling us to go next? What if our church and our homes were known for our repenting and for the beauty of what Jesus has done in our lives. That would be a community where Jesus is magnified and glorified, where his light exposes our need and the power of his sanctifying work in us. But it all begins with you. If we want to be this kind of community, we have to cultivate friendships with one another that would allow us to be this honest. Who do you know at FPC that you could be this honest with? I'm confident a lot of you feel that comfortable with me because a lot of you have confessed your struggles and your sins to me, and I'm honored by that. I appreciate that. But you don't need a priest. You've got a priest in heaven. What you need is the body of Christ. You need fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with each other. So I want you, you can look around the room if you need to, but who in this room do you need to start hanging out with and developing a real friendship with? Who do you need to eat with? Who do you need to drink coffee with, to play music with, to play golf or board games or whatever you like to do? So that you can get to know each other and trust each other and be this honest with each other. Maybe we have Sunday school, we have Bible studies, we have other times where you can get to know people as well. This is the reality. You can't sneak in right as church starts and then leave right after church ends and never interact with these people and get what John's telling you to do here. That's just not what the church is. We're called to deep relationships with each other, and that takes time. And you might be thinking, Mike, but my calendar. I know. My calendar too. The Lord is calling us to a countercultural way of thinking that puts our relationship with him and our relationships with each other way above a lot of the other priorities that tend to fill our calendars. He's inviting us to a real significant intentionality about our relationships with God and other Christians, deep fellowship, deep honesty, seriousness about sin, seriousness about holiness. You cannot be in fellowship with the light when you're still walking in darkness. It just doesn't work. So you who are forgiven by Christ, God intends to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, to grow you in holiness in increasing measure until the day you meet Jesus and you're purified forever. John's doing a real gospel gut check here. He wants us to look at ourselves, and God's light reveals who and what we really are. But if in the light of God you see your own hypocrisy, you see your own self-righteousness, what's the solution? Just agree with God. Say, you're right. I am a hypocrite. I'm acting righteous outwardly, but I'm really not living like a Christian. Or saying, you're right, God, I do still have a serious sin problem. I'm not fully free of sin yet. Agree with God. Confess your sin to him. Believe the gospel. Know that you're forgiven. Know that you're loved. And know that you can overcome your sin. But then get honest with your brothers and sisters. Start living not with a mask, but in open confession and repentance so that God will grow you in holiness, glorifying his grace in the process. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you don't leave us alone in the journey of following Christ. You give us your Holy Spirit, and you give us each other. So, Father, I want to pray for my friends here today. Lord, those whom the light has shown them their sin, help them to be honest with you, with themselves, and then to be honest with some other Christians in this room. And, Lord, for those who really don't have that kind of deep friendship with another Christian where they could have these kinds of honest conversations, help them to be intentional to carve out time for friendship, for the body of Christ, for the level of community that you have made us for and that you give us only in your church. So God, guide your people by your Holy Spirit that they may live in the freedom and joy of knowing your forgiveness, of overcoming sin, and becoming more like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.